This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Dan Pizzuta of SharpFootballAnalysis.com. He does an exceptional job, really in-depth stat stuff, and he's got a first and 10 article at SharpFootballAnalysis.com. Go check it out. 10 observations from 10 different games. It's really good. And he joins us now. Dan, first of all, thank you for hopping on with us here in Portland. It's nice to have you back on the program. And second, yesterday we did a segment called We Owe You an Apology, and we went through different things in the NFL. I owe the Miami Dolphins an apology. They're not as bad as I thought they would be. Who do you owe an apology to, player or team?
Ooh, that's an interesting one. First, thank you, Jesper, for having me back on. I really appreciate it. I'm going to say I think maybe the Tennessee Titans right now. I was looking at, you know, a lot of what they did last year. A lot of, you know, really good play action stuff. Ryan Tannehill was just super efficient last year into, you know, the intermediate range. He was completing about 75% of his passes on balls that went between 11 and 19 yards past the line of scrimmage. And that is, you know, one of the best rates in the league last year. It was also way higher than his career norms. But this year, he's doing it again. I didn't think that was something they'd be able to continue. But we've kind of seen they've been able to do it. I think Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator there, has done a really good job. They're opening up that middle of the field there. That play-action game is just working so well. So I think they are someone where even if their highs right now are not going to be as high as it is right now, I think they have as much of a sustainable performance as you could in that type of offense.
Yeah, that play-action pass game has been dominant, mixed in with Derrick Henry running all over people, 212 yards on Sunday. It was pretty incredible. The big news of the day in the NFL was the quarterback change happening in Miami. Now, we're not going to see it for a week because they're going into a bye week, but the Dolphins going from Fitzmagic to Tua. Your thoughts on the timing, the announcement, and just how this is going to go moving forward for Brian Flores?
Yeah, it kind of seems like this was the plan all along. If they're going into their bye now, they're going to have Tua starting coming out of the bye. That gives them, you know, a whole extra week of practice before he gets inserted as the starter. And as good as Ryan Fitzpatrick was, he was like a top 10 quarterback in efficiency over these first couple of weeks. I don't think that, and even if, you know, the AFC East is kind of still a little more wide open than we would have thought, especially with some, you know, subpar Buffalo performances. But I don't think trying to chase, you know, even a playoff berth with Ryan Fitzpatrick doesn't outweigh what the Dolphins are going to get for figuring out what Tua is as a quarterback. And that's going to help the long term of this team a lot more. And especially when you figure that they have Houston's first round pick now. So they kind of already have a pick that might be in the top 10. So even if you're, you know, trying to get better, I think you're benefiting yourself way more for the future of the franchise with Tua at quarterback. And then I think everything that's going on there, they, like you said, they've been a much better team than you would have thought. I think Brian Flores really has a good system in place there, and they're figuring out a lot of things on the fly, and they're way ahead of where we thought they would be with the rebuild schedule.
Yeah, Dan Pizzuta is our guest here, sharpfootballanalysis.com. Go check out his latest article, his first and 10. It is really good. It's one of the more in-depth things you'll read every Monday following the NFL weekend. You know, there's a lot of rookie quarterback conversation for people. One of those here locally is Justin Herbert. He's been absolutely lights out so far, and they haven't won a game, but he's played really well. First, what did you think of Justin Herbert going into the draft? It's okay if you didn't think he was going to be all that impressive. He was kind of polarizing out here. And two, what do you make of the play he has really given the Chargers thus far?
Sure. And I would say I was on this skeptical side of Justin Herbert, because I think you kind of saw, and you could, I'm sure there was a big discussion over there of just some of the play calling, some of the system he was in college probably didn't showcase his strengths. And I think with the Chargers right now, they're doing a better job of that. They're letting him throw down the field a little more. It's a little more of an open offense, and I think that's really playing to his strength. What you worried about when he was in college is some down-to-down consistency, and I think some of that is still there with what he's doing with the Chargers, but the big plays right now are really just overshadowing those down-to-down consistency. So he's able to live with some of that down-to-down inconsistency because those high-level plays are there. I think you look at, you know, if you compare it to someone like Daniel Jones in New York, right now, the down-to-down consistency isn't there, and those big plays aren't there to make up for it. With Justin Herbert now, I think he's buying himself some development time by hitting on these big plays. I think the Chargers could even help him out a little more by letting him pass a little more on early downs. They're still a super run-heavy team on first and second down, and that's kind of putting him into these long third downs that have kind of made him be this Superman on third down. So I think they could help him out a little earlier in series. But right now, I think he's much better than anyone could have thought, and probably even the Chargers, because they weren't expecting to be starting him at this point.
Right, right. I only had to throw him out there because of an injury. It's funny. I think the media and fans alike can be pretty reactionary based on just what we've seen most recently, and we just kind of go with that's the way it's going to be all year. One team that has now had both sides of that coin, positively and negatively, is the Buffalo Bills, who went from 4-0, and Josh Allen was an MVP candidate, to they got boat raced by Tennessee. Allen didn't look good. Then yesterday in the rain, yeah, it was pretty ugly. Allen got off to a bad start, and he had that one drive late in the game where they finally scored a touchdown, but Kansas City able to just run the ball kind of down their throat. What do you make of the Bills, and who is the real Josh Allen, the one we saw in the first 4 weeks or the one we've seen in the last 2 weeks?
So I'm going to try not to have a cop-out answer, but it's probably somewhere in between. I think you have to give the Chiefs a lot of credit here, because their pass defense, especially, has been one of the best in the league so far. Steve Spagnuolo really has that going well. They're getting a little better pass rush. They have Tyrann Mathieu in the middle of the field, and they have some, you know, cornerbacks who are not very, you know, widely known and not highly drafted either. If you look at guys like Rashad Fenton, Tre'Davious Ward, the guys who you wouldn't really know who they are, but they are playing really well. So I think that stifled the Bills a little bit. And I think you're still seeing there's some of that inaccuracy, like we said, and it's a similar thing to Herbert, where some of the down-to-down consistency isn't there, but they were hitting on these big plays. And a lot of it was some of the deep shots with Stephon Diggs, but he's been really good in the intermediate area also. So I think in the long term, I think they'll be able to figure it out. I have a lot of trust in that offense. I think the play-action game will help them also. But I think right now, I think the bigger concern for Buffalo is going to be the running game and the defense, because those are the two things that were really good last year. They're the worst in the league in rushing efficiency right now. And this defense that was a top five defense last year is now one of the worst in the league. Their linebackers being injured is really hurting them, especially Matt Milano, who's a really good coverage linebacker. And they run nickel about, you know, 80% of the time, or 88% of the time, because of how good their coverage linebackers are. And Tre'Davious White returned against Kansas City, but he wasn't really 100%. So I think that's going to be a big thing. So I'm not sure Buffalo is, you know, one of the best teams in the league that we kind of thought they might be after the first couple weeks. But I think they're going to be much better than they looked the past two games.
Yeah, Dan Pizzuta is our guest here, sharpfootballanalysis.com. He's one of the lead writers. Give him a follow on Twitter, @DanPizzuta. We just tweeted it out with the fan and the show account. All right, well, let's of the four NFC divisions, let's obviously scratch the one division that's not going to matter, and they're god-awful, and nobody wants to talk about it. Of the North, South, and the West, Dan, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Who in the living hell is the best team in the NFC to you?
Ooh, that is a really good question, because there's not a lot of standout great teams. I think every team is really good. But there's not one team right now, and I think every team has some deficiency that could probably hold you up. I don't want to be too reactionary, but Tampa Bay right now is probably the one that stands out. Their offense is starting to click. I think that's something we thought would happen. It was slowly with, you know, Tom Brady getting on the same page with these wide receivers. I think we're starting to see that more. And that defense right now is probably the only defense in the league that can stand out and say they're really a dominant defense. And we saw that against Green Bay. Right now, they have a defense that can blitz a whole lot, and they have the coverage to back it up. So when you have those two things, I mean, we saw what that did to Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. He was under pressure on, you know, 46% of his dropbacks. They were just confusing him, getting in his face, and in the coverage to back it up. So he couldn't even, you know, get the ball out quickly, which is what a lot of teams would do against the blitz like that. You see, you know, Buffalo is a team that's blitzing a lot, but they haven't had the coverage right now to really make up for it. So that's been some struggles. But Tampa Bay right now with their cornerbacks, you know, Carlton Davis and Jamel Dean, these guys are really young and they're emerging, and they have a difference maker on basically every level of that defense. And that's something that's going to be able to carry them, especially as his offense continues to click. And I mean, we saw Rob Gronkowski start to look like Rob Gronkowski again. And if that's going to be an element of the Buccaneers offense, then I think they're something that could potentially, you know, be really dangerous going forward.
Yeah, Gronk looking like that was definitely an eye opener for a lot of people. Does Mike McCarthy make it out of the year alive? And should attempting a field goal down 28-3 in the third quarter be a fireable offense?
From 58 yards.
Yeah, there's been a lot of questionable decisions. It's really interesting what's going on in Dallas, because I think if the defense wasn't as big of a disaster as it was, we wouldn't really be hearing about some of these, you know, the unrest about players and revolting against the coaches, because, you know, the offense, you know, with Dak Prescott was doing fine. It was a borderline top 10 offense in efficiency. But what they were really getting killed on was fumbles. They lost every fumble they had before this previous week. So that was already setting the offense back. And that defense, it's not a lot of talent. Some of the talent is working. They have two really good edge rushers in DeMarcus Lawrence, and Alden Smith has been playing great. But on the back end right now, that secondary is lost and usually overmatched. And I think that's something you can blame McCarthy on, even though he is not in control of the defense. He did hire Mike Nolan, who he was the offensive coordinator in San Francisco. But Mike Nolan hasn't been a defensive coordinator since 2014. He took, you know, a top 10 Atlanta defense. And in the 3 years when he left, it was the 32nd ranked defense by the time he was fired. So I think that's something you can blame McCarthy on. But in terms of the overall head coach, I'm not sure it's been too much of a problem, because Kellen Moore has still done an okay job. And I think if you said before the season, by week six, no offensive line starters would be in and Andy Dalton would be in there, you'd say, yeah, the Cowboys are going to have some problems. So the fact that that's what's happening right now is interesting. So how they rally from here on out is going to be really interesting to see. But right now, I still think that defense is a much bigger issue. And that's something with defensive coaching. And you can put the hire on McCarthy, but so much of that, there's miscommunication, they're overmatched and out-schemed a whole lot. So I think that's the bigger issue in Dallas right now.
All right, there we go. Great stuff from one of our favorites of Sharp Football Analysis. Dan Pizzuti does a great job. First and 10 article, go check it out at sharpfootballanalysis.com and give Dan a follow on Twitter. Really in-depth NFL information at Dan Pizzuti. Dan, thanks so much, man. We always appreciate the time. It's been nice having you on a couple times, and I'm sure we're going to have to catch up with you as the season continues to roll on, my man.
All right, sounds good. Thank you guys for having me on. Really appreciate it.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.